Anything specific before we start?
Let's just talk. Figure it out.
All right.
I mean, one game left. One game left.
It's time for the Rink Rats with your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. There's optimism in this studio, right?
That the season's almost over?
Well, it's almost over regardless of what happens, right? I mean, there's at most three more games. Somehow that stretches out to be a week's time. Whereas
one more road trip.
Wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a blast. I had a
DC
great
was fun.
Time. Best yeah. road city I've been to by far.
Better than Winnipeg.
Oh, I mean.
Well, I mean, you had a hard on for Winnipeg.
I did not. Everyone.
You absolutely. What are you talking about? You absolutely did.
It was the same thing in San Jose. I was getting tweets all day. Why don't you just stay there? The only city that people didn't think that I loved more than Vegas was L.A. That's because I incessantly complained about it because it's the worst city on the face of the earth. But
fair.
Winnipeg was cool for like a day, and then I would never want to be there again.
Yeah, but see, the problem with you is that you went on and on and on about Winnipeg and how much
awesome.
You loved poutine, and you were drinking after a Shania Twain concert and blah, blah, blah.
Fun.
But like, you never invited the fans in to, hey, Winnipeg's cool when you're passing through, but it's not a place I want to be.
Yeah, no, Winnipeg, I saw, and people from Winnipeg told me this, because I was telling a guy from Winnipeg, I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. I like it here. And he goes, yeah, you're seeing Winnipeg at peak Winnipeg. You're here for 3 days. It's game one of the Western Conference Finals, Shania Twain concert, game two of the Western Conference Finals. That's the Winnipeg I saw. And I never ventured further than like two blocks away from the arena. So it was popping. It's normally Kansas.
So game one of the Western Conference Finals, game two of the Western Conference Finals, and Shania Twain. Like, that's the benchmark for Winnipeg.
Doesn't get
like,
much better, yeah.
And it doesn't get much
yeah,
better.
So my point is, Winnipeg was cool. I was there. I would never, ever, ever want to live in Winnipeg under any circumstance. D.C. was fun. It has its... It's a pain in the ass, too, just like California, trying to find somewhere to park.
Sure.
And just getting around. You have to use the subway and stuff, which I'm not used to. But the city was amazing. And obviously, in D.C., there's a million things to see. I obviously was working most of the time, so I didn't get to see a lot. But, I mean, you could be there for 2 weeks and not run out of stuff to see. And it's all free. Everything's free. Nothing costs money in Washington, D.C.
That's nice.
So it's pretty cool.
See, I've got the call to go to Game 6. If there is a Game 6, I will be in D.C. And I'm a little apprehensive about going to D.C. because you start talking about subways, you start talking about having to do all these different things, and it's like I've only ever lived in places where I get in my car and I go somewhere, and I just go.
Subway, I had never used it either.
Yeah.
I wish they'd build a subway in Vegas now.
Really?
I used it the entire time I was there. It's outstanding. You get in... Like, my hotel was on the subway line, so there's an elevator outside my hotel, just on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You walk outside the hotel, there's a sidewalk with an elevator there.
That's
weird.
You
get in the elevator, go down, so it takes me 20 steps out of my hotel to get to this elevator. I go down. In 6 minutes, I'm all the way into downtown. I come up another elevator, or escalator,
sure.
And I'm 5 feet outside the arena. It's amazing.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's a 25, 30-minute drive, I could get there in under 10 minutes with the subway.
So who has the better ride to their arena? TJ Oshie, who takes the subway, or Jonathan Marchessault, who drives the Vegas-born Lamborghini?
I would say the Lamborghini. TJ Oshie, that was pretty funny for those that didn't see. He didn't even have the money, the exit fare. So he gets on the subway, he rides the subway, he gets to the end. You have to get through like a little turnstile, and
sure.
You have to swipe your card to get through it. His card is out of money, and he doesn't have any money on him because he's just going to the game, so he didn't even bring his wallet or anything. So now here you have a millionaire professional hockey player panhandling in the subway of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, but I mean, could you imagine? Like, that's how Vegas gets back in this series, right? Like, they win Game 5 at home. They force Game 6. TJ Oshie doesn't learn his lesson.
Can't get
and then
the game.
You just fill the subway station at that exit with Vegas Golden Knights fans, and when TJ Oshie goes to swipe and tries to get into the game, he can't because no one's going to give him any money.
This is true.
Is that, like, what's more logical? That or the Vegas Golden Knights just coming back, winning game 5, 6, and 7.
I think the first one is more logical.
Getting just trying to make sure TJ Oshie can't get into the building for game 6.
No, but DC was fun, and if you go and if you have a limited time to see the sights.
I do.
It takes you a full day to like walk around and see all the monuments.
Okay.
Ken Bulkey from Sinbin and I did it in 30 minutes.
Scooters.
They're called Birds.
Oh, geez.
And they're electric scooters. This is the coolest. Whoever invented this should be, like, we should build a pyramid in his name. That's how great these things are.
Okay.
They're the greatest invention of all time in the history of humankind. So what they are is they are electric scooters. They go pretty fast. I'd say 15, 20 miles an hour. Maybe not quite 20.
Speed
maybe 15.
Demon.
There they're pretty
go.
Fast.
Hmm?
And you rent them. You download an app on your phone. You put your credit card information in there. You go up to one. They've got a little scanner thing that you scan. You scan it on your app. Boom, it's activated. You can now ride this thing wherever you want. And then when you're done, you just put the kickstand up, lock it on the app, and walk away. Leave it wherever the hell you want. So you just are walking down the sidewalk. They're just randomly in places wherever the last person left it.
Sure.
They're just random. And like if you go on the app, you can go on the map and see where they are.
Wow.
So there are just random electric scooters everywhere in the city, just on the sidewalk. You just grab one, ride it wherever you want, drop it off wherever the hell you want, and leave. It's amazing.
It's basically Uber for scooters.
It's so sweet. So we rode around. We rode 5 miles in like 30 minutes, saw Lincoln Monument, Washington mm-hmm. Monument, Capitol Building, White House, a bunch of other monuments that I don't know what the hell they're called, a million things, and it costed us $7 for the scooter. It was amazing. It was like the coolest thing I've ever done.
How was the White House?
I mean, it's a White House. I mean, yeah. it's got
columns and pillars and
the
stuff.
The one thing I noticed is on TV and in movies and stuff, it seems like you're so close to it. Like, it mm-hmm. looks like you're, like, right there up against the fence. And then you get there, and it's, like, a mile away. Like, you can barely, like, it's very, very, very far. You don't get anywhere near it.
Sure. Unless you're going on, like, a tour, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which I didn't.
So, I feel like we've delayed the talking about the hockey for long enough. I think at some point, people are going to be tuning into this, and they're going to say, 8 minutes in, where the hell's the hockey talk? And, well, is this the end of the story?
What took longer, us to get to the hockey talk or the Golden Knights to realize they're in the Stanley Cup final?
Well, it took them 3 games, and then they played well for about 12 minutes in game 4. I mean, like, let's just cut through it, right? You don't win the Stanley Cup and miss the shot that James Neal missed. You can't do. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's wide open.
Yeah, the sad thing is when I sat there in the locker room after the game and they all said that was the best game we've played, and I'm like, man, the best game you've played was losing 6-2. That's not good.
Let's be realistic about it. That was much closer to a 3-2 game than it was a 6-2 game.
Well, they out-coursed them 53-28.
I mean, it was. If you're looking at just the analytics, if you're looking at just the underlying statistics, the Golden Knights should have won that game.
I disagree.
If you're looking at just the statistics.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what you see on the ice. I'm not talking about
it's
finishing
your
chances. I'm saying statistics would tell you that the team that has the puck more often than not and is getting to the dangerous areas more often than not has a higher probability of scoring more goals than the other team that isn't doing that.
Yeah, and I was on Winnipeg radio this morning, and they were like, you realize that's the same argument that the Jets had against the Golden Knights.
Absolutely.
The it's the exact same thing.
Absolutely, but I think the difference is Vegas was getting the puck to dangerous areas. It's just once they got the puck there, it's like they don't know what to do with it. They're shooting high, they're shooting into bodies, or they're just plain missing it. They're missing passes, they're missing plays.
Or Holtby makes an amazing save.
Or Holtby makes a save. I mean, you can say unbelievable, but Holtby makes a save.
I think the biggest problem for the Golden Knights is that their fourth line has been their best line.
Yes.
And you're not going to win a Stanley Cup like that.
Well, no. You're not.
The Capitals stars are showing up. Kuznetsov has been he's been unstoppable. They cannot stop him.
What do you think's wrong with him?
With who?
With Kuznetsov. He left the game. There's got to be something
wrong
with him.
It's probably still the hit from McNabb.
No, I know that. I'm saying, what do you think it is?
His armor, his wrist.
Broken wrist, broken finger.
I don't
what
think
do you
it's
think it
broken
is?
Because he's playing way too good for it to be broken. He's dominating.
It's been
ridiculous.
He does
whatever he wants on the ice.
No, he's been phenomenal.
The second line has been shredded every second of ice time, basically. The second line has been destroyed.
They were better in game four.
Second line is almost so bad that you can't even put them on the ice. It's a liability. Every time you put them on the ice, you're afraid they're going to give up a goal.
No, hold on. Are we talking about the second line with David Perron on it, or are we talking about the second line with Alex Tuch on it?
Well, Perron, it was worse, but...
No, well, yeah. I mean, Tuch, at least they had some looks in game four.
Yeah, in game three with Perron, they were on the ice for all three goals by Washington. They were on minus three for the game, and there were a bunch of opportunities that the Washington didn't score on that they had against the second line. They could have easily been minus six in that game. They were horrible.
No, they're bad.
And meanwhile, so the Caps top line is just absolutely
fantastic,
shredding the Golden Knights second line, and the Golden Knights top line is invisible.
Yeah.
Jonathan Marchessault is playing his ass off. He's trying and missing the net on most times, but Carlson has been invisible. You almost wouldn't even know he's playing in this series. And Riley Smith has been okay and missed some opportunities.
It was funny because we just got back from practice. And one of the things that I noticed that I don't know that I've seen this at a practice once this year. I mean, you see it occasionally. A guy will come down in practice and he'll take a shot and he'll ring one off the post. And he'll be like, oh, man, I thought I had that one. He'll throw his hands up, throw his head up to whatever it is he believes in up there and say, I can't believe I missed that, right? Yeah. Riley Smith did that five times in practice today. Five times he hit the post. Five times he got frustrated. And I'm like sitting there saying to myself, you did score a nice goal in game four. That should start to get you going. But I don't see anything out of William Carlson that I saw in the regular season and through three rounds of the playoffs. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's sick. I don't know if he's fighting something. I don't know what it is, but you're right. Every time he gets the puck, it seems to be just out of sync completely with the rest of his line mates.
Yeah, and he missed practice today, and I asked Gallant, and he said he's fine. Optional skate. He chose not to, which, if you know William Carlson, is not surprising. He despises practice. He absolutely hates it. And he hates morning skate, and there has not been an optional skate this season where Carlson has skated. He has not opted to practice one time in 8 months. So whenever he's not out there, everyone, like, obviously Twitter freaked out because he's the best player on the team other than Fleury, and everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, knowing him, I wasn't worried, and then we asked Gallant, and he said he's fine. So I expected him to be fine, but he just hasn't been himself. And this sounds awfully doom and gloom, and it is doom and gloom. They're down 3-1. It sucks. They've lost three in a row. It's the first time I've ever seen the team sad in the locker room. In every loss this whole season, especially in the playoffs, they are either still confident and not worried or pissed off.
Sure.
Like Winnipeg, up in Winnipeg, game one was a perfect example. They were pissed off, and especially Jonathan Marchessault. This is after game four was the first time I've ever walked in the locker room and it felt depressed.
You know, that's why I wanted to be there. Like, that's why I wanted to be there and see what they were like in the locker room, because I got a little taste of it today, right? I'm in there.
Today they were much better.
That may be true.
I thought they turned the page pretty well.
But I mean, I talked to Colin Miller today and I said, you know, at this point, there's really not much else you can do. This is the reality of the situation. You got to win three games. You've done it multiple times this year. How, like, can you turn the page and just go out there and have fun? And his answer was, well, it's not much fun right now. I'm like, that's not the question I'm asking. Like, you 3 weeks ago would have said, yeah, we just got to go out there and play our game. We just got to go find a way. We got to go play and have fun. Like, I know it's not fun right now. I get it. I understand that. You're losing your dream.
Yeah.
I understand it's not fun, but there is zero pressure on you now.
Well,
there's no pressure on you.
Listen, I don't know about that.
And let me explain why. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is giving them a chance to win the series.
Yeah, I mean, that's right what now. I'm writing about.
There's
so get out of here.
No chance. Whether they win Game 5, whether they win Game 6, and they bring it back home for a Game 7, I still don't think anybody is going to give them a chance to win that series. There's no pressure.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see that. But, like, my point is things can change so quickly
in
a series, in a seven-game series. Like, if we can rewind back to midway through Game 2 in this series,
yep.
The Golden Knights didn't play great, but won the first game pretty handily. Then Game 2, they're winning about halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they're going to roll.
Yeah.
People are thinking sweep. People are thinking 4-1. It felt like this team was going to just glide to a Stanley Cup championship.
Okay.
And then Washington scores a couple quick goals. Holtby makes one of the best saves in the history of the Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
And now it's 3-1. Just like that. Now, my point is, it can swing that way. It can also swing the other way because it's 3-1 right now. It seems dark. There doesn't seem like there's much of a chance. But tomorrow night, they're going to go out there on the ice at T-Mobile Arena. It's going to be pumped up. The crowd's going to be crazy. The pregame thing is awesome. They're going to be fired up. If they go out there in the first 5 minutes and score a goal, 1-0, all of a sudden, this series feels completely different.
Because I disagree.
If you go out there and score that goal, they win that game. If the Golden Knights win tomorrow night, the Capitals, I don't care what anyone on that team says, they're going to be freaking out.
Okay. My point is, in this moment right now, no one's giving them a chance to win the series.
Yeah.
There's no pressure going into Game 5. I also think Washington has shown an ability to do what Vegas did to Winnipeg every single game, with the exception of Game 1, in the previous round.
Yeah.
Washington answers Vegas like no other team has all year long. I don't think that Vegas can't stop at one goal. They need to put three up in the first period.
Well,
like, they need to run away with a game and make it very convincing that their style of play can beat the Washington Capitals in the first period of Game 5. Or it's not, like, Washington believes they can put goals up against this team.
Yeah.
They know they can beat Flower. They know that Vegas isn't going to suddenly get amazingly better in their own defensive end. Because it hasn't been there.
Yeah,
it hasn't been there through four games. They've had four games to make that adjustment, and they haven't done it once.
Yeah. I think the first goal of that game is so important.
It's huge.
I think if Washington scores the first goal, it's over.
I agree with you.
If Vegas scores the first goal, they've got that crowd going. They've got the momentum. I think they win the game. And if they win the game, it's now – because right now, when you think about it from the perspective of they have to win three games in a row,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot.
Sure.
But it's really not, because if you win tomorrow night, it's 3-2. The next game now becomes a must-win for the Capitals.
Absolutely.
It's that quick.
Absolutely.
It goes, all you need is one game, and now all of a sudden, the next game is must-win for the Capitals, which all of a sudden, now those three games don't sound that bad, because now you're going to Washington, and now all the pressure is on the Capitals. They have to win Game 6 in Washington, because you cannot let this team force a Game 7 back in Vegas where they never lose. It's all the pressure goes on Washington. And not only that, but this team has blown more 3-1 leads than any team in major North American professional sports at 5. Alex Ovechkin is 2-2 when leading a series 3-1, which is insane, because teams that are up 3-1 win like 98% of the time, and he's 50%.
Okay, so this is the thing that I kind of really wanted to get into. How could the Washington Capitals, as a team, destroy their fan base even more than they've already done so? This would be it.
I mean, this is the answer.
I mean, like, every single demon that has ever presented itself to the Washington Capitals has been present in this postseason. They had to beat John Tortorella, who they could never beat when he was the coach of the Rangers. They had to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, who they just can't beat, period, and then they did. They had to beat a ton of ex-Rangers and Chris Kunitz on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then they go against their old foe, Marc-Andre Fleury, who seems to just have their number in seven-game series. But they have to do it with a 3-1 lead, which is one of the worst leads for their entire franchise. at this time. Like, you couldn't script a worse ending for the Capitals if they were to blow this.
Yeah, and you think, I mean, if you're a Capitals fan, you're telling yourself, well, we got over Pittsburgh. That mentality is done. But after game four, and remember, this team has won three straight where they have looked great. They've won three straight where they have looked great. I am in the media center. We finish the Gallant press conference, and the Capitals players come up next. And it's TJ Oshie and Holtby.
Uh-huh.
And I leave, and I go over to my chair, and I'm typing up quotes. I'm transcribing Gallant's quotes. When all of a sudden, my ears perk up. Because TJ Oshie, after winning three straight, remember, he wasn't even a part of those teams.
Sure.
Said, well, we know this team has had some collapses from down 3-1. So, and I'm like, it's in their minds already.
Why do you even bring that up?
So that speaks volumes because he wasn't even on those teams. If he brought that up at a press conference after they'd won three straight and looked great, it's in their minds. It's something they talk about in the locker room. And if it's in their minds after winning three straight, just imagine how strongly it'll be in their minds if the Golden Knights win tomorrow night. I'm telling you right now, if the Golden Knights win tomorrow night, all of a sudden, the Capitals are going to be tight.
Okay, so tell me, do the Golden Knights win tomorrow?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because Washington's better. They've been the better team. The Golden Knights played their best game. The Capitals weren't great, and they beat them by 4 goals.
How did we get this so wrong?
I think the Capitals' ability to slow them down in the neutral zone. And they did it to Tampa, and you said it. They made Tampa look slow, and we thought they won't do it to Vegas.
We thought Vegas worked harder.
They have done it to Vegas. They have slowed them down the neutral zone. They forced them to dump the puck deep, and the Golden Knights just aren't good at that.
See,
they aren't good at it.
What I think is so interesting about Washington is that when they get behind, they're so good offensively that they can change what they're doing and score a quick goal and get back. Or they can get two on you. And then as soon as they get a lead, they clamp everything down.
Yeah.
You cannot play from behind against the Washington Capitals.
Yep.
But the difference between the Capitals and I think every other team is if Washington gets behind, that's not a problem for them to get another goal. It's not a problem for them to counterpunch and find a way to even things up, take the lead, and shut everything down.
I mean, they have a lot of guys that can make individual plays.
Oh, yeah.
Special.
Absolutely.
I mean, Kuznetsov is so good. And right now, he's my leading candidate. I don't know about everyone else, but he's my leading candidate for Conn Smythe.
So you don't give it to Braden Holtby?
He'd be second right now. I mean, it depends. I mean, they are so neck and neck, and even Ovi's kind of in there, too. They're so neck and neck that it depends on, I mean, the clinching game. If Holtby comes out and makes 40 saves and wins it, then I would give it to Holtby. But if right now, Kuznetsov is doing, I mean, five players in, I think, what was it, the last, like, 40 years have had 31 points in the playoffs or something. Some crazy stat, and he has it right now. And he had 4 assists, which is something nobody had done in a long time in a Stanley Cup final game. He's been great.
He's been fantastic.
And Ovechkin's been really, really good. He's been clutch. He's gave them big goals when they needed it. And Holtby's been good. I think right now I have it Kuznetsov, Holtby, Ovechkin would be my order.
And you get a vote.
I know. Hey, I don't want
to. Does that mean more
brag
to you than the Stanley Cup?
I don't want to brag, but that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the press box before game one, and Pierre LeBrun.
My favorite.
Formerly, he's the greatest.
I'm sure
he is.
I love
Pierre LeBrun.
I'm sure
he's the greatest. So anyways, formerly of ESPN, now of The Athletic, he comes over to me and he's like, hey, so you've been chosen as one of the Conn Smythe voters. I'm like, oh, cool. Cool, because I vote on the other awards because I'm HWA.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. It didn't seem like that big a deal to me. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you'll get an email, so you'll have to vote. Like so tomorrow, midway through the third period, I will have to submit you have to do it for every possibly clinching game. So even if the Golden Knights are up 6-0, I still have to do it because there is the possibility. So midway through the third period, I will submit my three. And then if the Golden Knights win, it gets erased. I can change my votes, so I have to do it again the next game, whatever.
Sure.
But there's only 18 of us, which is pretty cool. 18 people in the world get to vote on Conn Smythe.
I want to see a tie. I don't know how mathematically that would have to shake down.
Yeah,
and like what you guys would need to do in order to make that happen. But like, it's almost criminal that if the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup, Alex Ovechkin is not going to win the Conn Smythe. Because if you look at Ovechkin, you look at Kuznetsov, I don't think Ovechkin's done more than Kuznetsov has, and I think Kuznetsov should be the Conn Smythe winner. But then you look at the last 2 years in the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby winning the Conn Smythe because his name is Sidney Crosby. And you'll never see that happen for Ovechkin.
Well, it wouldn't have happened for me for Sidney Crosby. I despise that thought.
It's the worst.
It's like...
Like Phil Kessel leads
everybody
in points, and he's the best player on the ice, and he's the reason the Penguins win. But he's Phil Kessel. He's not Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby can't win a cup and not be a Conn Smythe winner. It just doesn't make sense.
It happened in basketball with Kobe Bryant. Was god-awful when the Lakers beat the Celtics. Just terrible. He almost lost them the series, let alone almost won. And Pau Gasol carried that team to a win, and they gave the MVP to Kobe Bryant because he's Kobe Bryant. And the same thing happens with Sidney Crosby. It would not have happened if I was voting on that. Well, it still would have, but my vote wouldn't have. But anyways, kind of a cool thing for me. Only 18 of us, only three people in Vegas get to vote on it, and I was chosen as one of them.
Can you disclose the other two guys or no? Not yet?
I won't. I'm pretty sure...
I know the ballot comes out.
Our votes will be made public afterwards. This is the first time, though. That's never happened before.
Huh, that's interesting.
The PHWA voted on it earlier in the year to make all of our awards public. So
that's cool.
After the NHL awards show, when they announce the winners, they'll make all of our votes on everything public.
Okay, so I want to talk about the save.
What a save.
Pierre Maguire, great friend of the show. Said, you know, guys, back in Washington, they're going to refer to this as the save.
They already are.
I'm sure they are.
They're wearing T-shirts. I walked into a Five Guys restaurant in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
There was a table of five people with the save, the picture of it on their shirt, and it said the save. And I'm like,
did you see
that? Was like 3 days ago. God damn, you guys are quick.
Did you see the Twitter flipbook thing? The animation flipbook? That was kind of cool. I don't know. You're a goalie, so I'm pretty sure I know where you're going to lie on this, but is it Alex Tuch making a mistake, or is it Braden Holtby making an unbelievable save?
It's Holtby making an unbelievable save, but I will say this. I don't know how many times I've made a paddle save like that. So let's say in my entire life, say it's 25. On all 25 of those, it was because I screwed up.
Sure.
When a goalie makes a paddle save like that, it's because they were out of position.
Right.
So, Halla got Holtby out of position by leaning in and making him think he was going to shoot. Holtby went into the butterfly, then he fed it over to Tuch, and then Holtby came over and made a great save. But, if you play the play correctly, you don't make – no goalie ever played things perfectly and made a paddle save, ever. That's never how it works out. So, he did – he caused himself to have to make that save.
Right,
but he did, and you can't say Tuch didn't elevate it because it was off the ice. It wasn't like he slid it along the ice. Holtby hit it out of midair.
In fairness, if he slid it along the ice, he probably would have scored.
Yeah,
which is
but you're taught as a player to.
Well, I mean, obviously, Alex Tuch threw what he thought would be the best shot on net, and I mean,
and you tell him roof it, but if he tries to roof it and throws it over the crossbar, then it's 1,000 times worse than Holtby making the save.
I completely agree because we're looking at that James Neal shot right off the post. Yep. He's got a wide open net, shoots it off the post, and you get Alex Tuch in that situation. He tries to roof it, he hits the crossbar, or it goes over, and then you're not even giving yourself a chance to score a goal.
I don't fault Alex Tuch at all for that. That's amazing save. You're playing the Stanley Cup final. The best hockey players on the face of this earth are all playing, and the goalie made the best save. He is one of the best goalies on earth, and he made the best play of his entire life. What can you do?
I mean, and it's funny because you talk about that. You talk about Braden Holtby making one of the best plays of his career. Like, he may never have a save that means as more, that carries as much weight.
Yeah, he won't.
He's still a relatively young enough guy that maybe he comes up with something down the line.
But if they win the cup here, it's their first cup.
Well, I know that, but
nothing will ever mean
more. Okay, fine.
This.
So he makes the save of his life.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, two games later, James Neal makes a play. And I know that I keep harping on this, but again, you can't win a Stanley Cup and miss a wide open net by hitting the far post. You shoot for the middle of the goal. There's no reason.
It's
James Neal takes that shot 1,000 times. he makes it 999.
It's so crazy.
No way. He is never going to miss that again in his career. No. He's probably never missed it up until this point. How does it happen in the Stanley Cup final?
He is such a sniper. When James Neal shoots, he's normally picking which square of the twine he's going to hit.
Right.
We're talking, this guy fits pucks into areas that are the size of a puck, like with regularity.
Right. No, he's been a great goalie. Sniper. He's
and
been
he
a great
just
goal scorer.
A 6 foot by 4 foot target from like 5 feet away. Unbelievable.
I want to ask you this because, again, you were there. And I asked Chris Chapman. He kind of gave me a little bit of what I was looking for. But when Neil missed that shot, did you look at the bench? Could you sense that this team was just done?
No.
In that game?
No. They still felt great because they were dominating play. And like there was another one that hit off of Eric Hall's skate and then off the post
mm-hmm.
that Holtby never saw. And that would have went in, obviously, too, if it would have been on target because Holtby never saw the shot. I feel like it was everything was great. Even after Neil missed it, they still felt like, we're dominating this game. We're going to tie this thing up. It was Neil takes the penalty at center ice. They get a power play. And when the Capitals went on the power play, I looked over at other guys in the press box. I'm like, this is bad. They're going to score here. And they do easily because they have made it look easy on the power play.
Been great.
And they do, and that was when they went up 1-0. Yeah, I didn't see the deflation off of Neil's shot. I think they still felt good, but when they dominated the first 10 minutes, they could not have dominated the Capitals anymore for the first 10 minutes and were trailing 1-0. That was when it's over. This game's over.
So you're not optimistic that the Golden Knights win game 5?
I'm not. I've picked them to win the last 3 games. They've lost all 3 of them. I don't see why I should pick this team. Now, I'm not saying they can't win. I think if you're telling me like what percentage, put a percentage on it. I'm saying it's 60-40 Washington. I don't think it's like 90-10 Washington. I think the Golden Knights have a good chance. They're very good in this building. If they get the first goal, they're going to win.
So if they win game 5, if the Vegas Golden Knights win game 5, force game 6, what do you think the probability is? What do you think the odds are we're coming back here for a game 7?
I would favor the Golden Knights more in that game than I would this game.
Really?
Because I think the Capitals, I think it's in their head. And I think if the Golden Knights win right now, the Capitals feel great.
Sure.
We beat the Penguins. We beat Tortorella. We beat everyone.
We're
Tampa.
Different.
We're up 3-1.
We're new.
This is different. Exactly. Yeah. We are different. Right? Going into this game tomorrow night, they feel great. The Golden Knights have to beat that team, the team that feels great. And if you do, now the team you face in Game 6 is not the same team. Now it's, holy crap, guys, we can't screw this up. Are we really going to do this? And if say the Golden Knights win Game 5, it goes to Game 6. Say the Golden Knights get an early goal in Washington. The feeling in that building amongst these fans is,
it'll be bedlam.
Are you kidding me?
So, okay, because I agree with you. I think Game 5 is going to really be sort of that pinnacle moment for the Washington Capitals. They can talk about being different all they want to. And yes, they've beaten the Penguins. Yes, they've gotten through some of these challenges. But this is everything that's ever gone wrong with this franchise in one moment. One game. If they don't perform on Thursday, if they don't perform in that game, nothing's different.
Yeah.
Nothing is different. So I think Game 5 is a huge game in the storyline of this series. And I asked, is the story over for the Golden Knights?
No.
I agree with you. If they win Game 5, I don't see any reason to believe this isn't going 7.
You win Game 5, they get tighter, you go back to Washington, there's going to be nervousness in the building.
Mm-hmm.
If the Golden Knights have a good start, it's here we go again. If the Capitals have to come back to Vegas for Game 7, they could not feel worse about it.
But then what happens in Game 7? Because obviously this is probably going to be our last podcast before the end of the season.
If it goes to Game 7, I'm taking Vegas.
Unless you take Vegas in
if
that.
If it goes to Game 7, and I feel great about it. The 60-40 thing, I say 80-20 Vegas if it goes to Game 7 because they will have won 2 games in a row. The Capitals will it will be in their heads, and they'll be coming back home where they play better than any team in any, in their home rink. Yeah, I mean, if it goes to game seven, I feel great about Vegas. I just don't feel great about their chances getting it there.
Sure. Okay. Well, I kind of agree with you. I think game five is one of those pivotal games. Obviously, it's an elimination game for the Vegas Golden Knights, so there is no room for error. They have to win in order for the season to continue on. But I think that game five means a heck of a lot more to the Washington Capitals and their psyche than it is going to mean to the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights, they're supposed to lose. Yeah. So if they lose game five, they did what they were supposed to do. If the Capitals blow game five, then it is just, you turn on all of those things that say you're not good enough, you're not going to get it done, you can't get it done, you can't figure it out. And it would be the most heartbreaking way for the Washington Capitals to lose a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You get 15 out of 16, you have three opportunities, and you don't close it out.
As a fan of hockey, I'm excited. It's going to be fun to see how the Golden Knights react facing elimination. They've never faced elimination. And this team all year has said, oh, nobody believes in us, our backs are against the wall. But like, it hasn't actually been against the wall.
Sure.
This is just perception.
Mm-hmm.
Their backs have been against a perceived wall. But if they lost, they didn't actually fall off the cliff. Now,
right,
they're actually against, we've never seen this team against in an elimination game.
And it'll be interesting because this team has done very well when it comes to firsts.
Yeah.
They've won every single first that they've ever had in their their franchise.
We'll see. I'm excited to see it. I know Golden Knights fans are not happy right now, but as a fan of hockey in general, this is fascinating to me to see what they do with their backs against the wall and the whole history of the Capitals. This is a great, just, I don't feel like this spot is depressing. This spot is good. I like it.
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury said it today. He's like, we've got the opportunity to win three games and win a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's how you got to look at it. Riley Smith said, if you would have told us at the beginning of the year that we just have to go on a three-game winning streak and we can win the Stanley Cup, we would have taken that all day long.
Yep.
And you have to get your mind there. You have to turn the page. You have to get your mind there. And I don't know that the fans have given up. I don't think that they should. But again, you're dealing with a team in Washington that has been through this time and time again. Have they learned their lesson? This is their biggest test. And if they pass it, they win the Stanley Cup. If they don't, we're looking at a Game 6 and a Game 7, and I wouldn't want to be a Washington Capitals fan if that happens.
Agreed. This team has won five straight playoff games twice this season.
Right.
They
right.
can do three.
I think so.
But can they do it against this team that has dominated them?
Well, they just got to win one. You just got to start with one.
Yeah, you sound like Turk.
Ah, come on. That's not fair. I don't yell at you as often as he does.
It was so great.
David Perron, who said he's not playing?
He was so mad at me.
Turk. What do you do with the lineup? You change anything? If you're Turk?
I leave it.
You leave Tatar in.
Yeah.
Keep Perron out. You switch Carrier for Reeves?
No.
Really?
No, leave Reeves in.
Yeah?
That's been the best line on the ice.
I know.
It's
baffling.
Obviously I'm not a huge Reeves fan as far as his play on the ice, but he's played well enough. He hasn't given Gallant a reason to take him out. You leave him in.
Completely agree.
And you just need that first line to play like even a fraction of what they have all year. Come on, guys. You got to do something.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. A little bit shorter of a podcast today. We're squeezing it in. We're both extremely busy. Jesse, where can people find you on social media?
At @JesseGranger_. That's everything. Twitter, Instagram, it's all the same.
All right, buddy. I am Ryan, the hockey guy. You can find me at Ryan Hockey Guy. We will be back maybe to preview a game seven. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. Maybe we'll be live from D.C. Maybe we'll do a quick show if we get out there for game six. We'll try to figure it out. But until then, thanks for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe on iTunes if that is how you consume the podcast. If not, we really do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to us. Thank you very much.